decision, including the Haji Nawab. And then at the end of the day, we had a summary of the key issues, including the presentation on the that we need to apply when we do our oversight. Now, today, we are going to a pre-dive who will do their presentation, and then after that, we will go on with our way of developing the strategic plan for the community for the next 5 years. But now, before that, I would like to give to the Honorable State President to give us an opening remark there.
Richard Deacon, who wrote, "It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times." Yesterday we had both. We had our guest speaker arriving before us and making an excellent presentation. And so with the National Heritage Council and the discussion, it was good, very good, the best of times, the best of experience. But then we had the non-appearance of the department. We see action in the department yesterday. I made a call to the minister and the minister. If they are here, they should alert us to their presence. I don't see them yet. And the portfolio committee will take adequate steps to deal with that. And that was the worst of times for yesterday. So today, Treasury is here. He is receiving an excellent award by 5 minutes. Next time, I know it's waiting for you. And arrive a few minutes before time. Because if you need to set up your own things, you want to do that before we start. Those are the expectations of the portfolio committee. But thank you that you have our time. Facilitator.
Thank you, Chair Tester. If we look at our timetable there, it obviously shows that at 9 we have the presentation on the PFMA, which of course is Treasury, who are here. So I'd like to take this opportunity to give it to Treasury to go ahead and take the decision that they have for the coming this morning.
That we should finish by not later. Finishing could last time.
Yes.
Because after one, we must be gratified.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we could also take the time to Let's talk to the hot coffee. Because I'm having difficulty getting the. Ah, okay, here we go. Thank you. Okay. Good morning, Chairperson, honourable members. We do apologise for arriving 5 minutes late. We were informed by head of our parliamentary office that your meeting only was commencing at 9:30. My name is Dr. Mark Fletcher from the National Treasury. I also would like to send apologies on behalf of our Minister of Finance, and also. Ms. Julia De Bruin and Mr. Spencer Janari, who do a lot of work on the Art First. I'm going to speak mainly in two parts, partially on the PFMA and partially on some of the legal framework for strategic planning. Spencer Janari, who is the director who deals with this vote, has asked me also to particularly raise two or three particular concerns he's having around the department's financial management at the present time. Okay, so, Chair, this part of the presentation deals then with the PFMA and Parliament's oversight of finances. And I'll briefly talk to the legal framework, the Act and Parliament's oversight role, portfolio committees and the Money Bills Amendment Procedures and Related Matters Act of 2009. In terms of the legal framework, of course we normally like to start with the Constitution. And the chapter in the Constitution that lays out the framework for financial areas and financial legislation and financial activities is Chapter 13 of the Constitution. That lays out the broad framework within which most of the financial legislation falls and most of the financial institutions are set up. The Public Service Act has certain relevant areas, but the most important act obviously on finance is the Public Finance Management Act of 1999 and its various amendments, and the Treasury Regulations and its various amendments. I brought with me a copy of the PFMA, but you know, any members of the committee who don't have copies of the PFMA perhaps could indicate to Nico and we could try and get you copies of the Act. Which in many ways is the Bible, of financial management. And then of course the Treasury Regulations lay out a lot of the detail of financial management. And again, those of you who want to could ask Mr. Moran, we could get you a copy of the Treasury Regulations in all of its 30, 40 chapters that deal with all the details. And then underneath the Treasury Regulations is a very large number of practice notes which determine what departments and entities need to do to manage their finances as well. Okay, and then more recently, we mentioned we've just had the Money Laws Amendment Bill Act, which has laid out certain new processes pertaining to the appropriation of budgets, the role of portfolio committees in looking at aspects of budgets of departments. And perhaps we can come into some aspects of that a little later. Okay, so the PFMA,
the PFMA and Treasury Regulations. if you have some law that you must take back on the plane, it will not work anyhow. It will be
both and the derogation. Nico, I think if we could have perhaps arranged either for someone to bring us up a set, or when we go back, we could perhaps put together a set. So what time will you be here today, Jay?
We're believing
lunchtime. Okay, so if we could get a copy. Yes, someone. Nico, is it possible to even phone back now and get somebody to make copies, or should we do it when we go back, which is better?
Excuse me, it's about 12.
Okay, now, so I think that would be very valuable to have copies of the documentation, because really a lot of these things are in the detail, and it's the kind of detail that's often also. We could, although it's also a lengthy piece of legislation as well, but okay. Alright, so Nico is going to try and organize. I think Nico's going to see what we have in our offices at the moment. Okay, alright, so the PFMA, some of its key aspects are to focus on the outputs and responsibilities of accounting officers. The Act attempts to set up a framework of accountability in which the accounting officer, the head of the department, becomes responsible for the department, but that manager then has quite a bit of flexibility in which to manage his department in innovative ways. So the Act gives quite a lot of space to laying out the role of accounting officers, the functions of accounting officers, the role of accounting officers in transferring funds to external bodies, and of course quite a lot, particularly in the Treasury regulations, on the finances of public entities as well. So it deals a lot with the finances of departments, and then lengthy chapters on the finances of public entities, of how different public entities, of which there are many in the arts arena, need to manage their finances. So people sometimes like to say, let the managers manage, but hold them accountable. And the Act also lays out some issues pertaining to the executive with respect to the accounting officer. So for example, if the minister wants to instruct the head of department to do certain activities, perhaps which are not budgeted for, the Act lays out certain processes by which the minister has to put that in writing, and various other processes. So the PFMA aims to regulate financial management, to ensure all revenue, expenditure, assets, and liabilities are managed efficiently and effectively. Lays out responsibilities of persons entrusted with financial management, and it's applicable to all public entities, except for certain designated ones which are specified within their own acts. Here are some sections of the PFMA which pertain to the role of Parliament, and they include Parliament's constitutional responsibility, which is particularly around the area of setting the whole legislative framework for the budget and for financial management. Ultimately, Parliament passes these laws, which says this is the framework for financial management in the country. I mean, the Treasury and the Finance Minister may prepare the laws, but ultimately it's Parliament who passes any law and can amend any law. There are various clauses pertaining to protecting the integrity of the National Revenue Fund. And then, of course, coming to the third one here, appropriating funds. So with the new Money Laws Amendment Bill, the Parliament has, of course, always appropriated budgets, but for the first time with the new Money Laws Amendment Bill, Parliament has the opportunity to change budgets. Parliament must receive annual budgets by main division of the vote. What that means is that those budgets must be tabled in Parliament and be considered by Parliament. In each case, the relevant sections of the Act are laid out in the right here. Parliament must receive Department's measurable objectives. They must receive the medium-term expenditure framework and the macroeconomic projections. They must receive and consider adjustment budgets. They must review unauthorized expenditure. And of course, for any expenditure to be authorized, the Department can't authorize overspending or other forms of spending. It's Parliament who has to consider whether to authorize unauthorized expenditure. The oversight of use of funds in emergency situations, to review unfunded mandates, to receive and publicize audited financial statements, to receive annual reports and other documents, to receive information on the discharge by auditors on public entities, to receive audited general reports, to receive information on financial misconduct by accounting officers. So these are all things that Parliament, in terms of the Act, has responsibilities and areas which you as a committee can exercise your roles and call the department or the minister. The most recent bill is the Money Bills Amendment Procedures and Related Matters Act of 2009. And this lays out in some detail, actually, the role of some of these committees. The parliamentary committees to annually assess the performance of departments using, and I'll probably actually read, I've got a copy of the Act with me, so I may actually, after reading this slide, just read you some bits of the Act. But this is quite interesting because this relates specifically to parliamentary committees such as yours. So parliamentary committees to annually assess the performance of departments using the E&E of the department. That's the Estimate of National Expenditure. That's the chapter which we've circulated. I mean, I presume all of you have a copy of this chapter already. The E&E is the big book that the Minister of Finance tables, the fattest book that the Minister of Finance tables on Budget Day. And it contains the budget of each department in quite a lot of detail. We have circulated a copy of the art chapter of the E&E to all of you, so you should have it in front of you. If you like, we can look at some aspects of that in the course of the morning. But so this committee can assess the E&E with the strategic priorities and its measurable objectives. This committee can or should assess the strategic plan of the department. Expenditure reports, Section 32 of the PFMA, and quarterly reports, financial statements and annual reports, scope reports, and any other relevant information. Parliamentary committees to annually submit budgetary review and recommendation reports on the department's service delivery performance. Quite interesting the way these are sort of, so this is the Act.
Talking about the role of parliamentary committees, this is section 5. It's pretty much what I've been reading out here. It's the procedure prior to the introduction of the national budget. The National Assembly, through its committee, which is you, must annually assess the performance of each national with reference to the following. So all of these things. It's quite a big list of things, which really, in a sense, you have oversight through the department. These are the key things, really. It's the budget, the medium-term expenditure framework, strategic plan, the expenditure report, the quarterly expenditure report, the financial statement, the annual report, and the FOCA report. What does FOCA have to say about the department? You know, and then you are asked to prepare a report on the department, and if you want to any proposals change the department for its budget, and these are laid out in that section.
Okay, so that was the first part that I wanted to briefly talk about. Then I wanted to talk a little bit about strategic planning given the role of the committee in also overseeing strategic planning of departments, or considering the strategic plans of departments. Now, this presentation, so we've also distributed this presentation, you should have a copy of this one, and it's quite detailed, so I'm not going to go through all the presentation, but I want to just point out certain aspects of it. And I also want to briefly, if I can, read through. Sorry, Nick, do you have a copy of that Gazette, Government Gazette on the strategic planning? Do you have it handy? If I could just.
plan after Q4 must form the basis for the annual report of the department, of accounting officers as a part of the resident of that. And if that's the gazette of strategic planning,
okay, I'm not going to go through all this detail, but just to say that the Treasury and to some extent the Department of Public Service do give departments quite detailed frameworks for doing strategic plans. So we try and help them in a sense to give them a framework by which they do a strategic plan. And I always find this kind of, you know, overview picture of kind of the main parts of the financial year to be quite useful, where here you have each department
and you have the oversight function by Parliament and the policy development strictly by the Minister and also the legislature, but then the department starting the year with a strategic plan. Talked about the development plan, what it's going to do for the year ahead or 3 years ahead, and it's really where we go in this sector. That's not a plan, that's a key thing in a plan. I mean, when you look at each plan, you want to get a sense, does this department know where it's going? And is it a sensible vision, and so on. And then goes from that strategic planning to the more operational planning and budgeting, and you will also be reviewing a budget. See, is this budget in line with what it's been trying to achieve? And so again, not only can you review the budget, and not only can you review the budget before the finalization of the budget, but you can also make proposals to the appropriate committee to say, and to the minister, and the department to say, look, you know, are these things right in the budget? Are these things that need changing? Then there's the implementation in the course of the year, and many portfolio committees realize that there's a long distance between planning and reporting, and this is where things often go wrong in implementation. So many committees like to call their members in the course of the year and to say, look, now what's happening on these key projects? You know, give us an update, are the things happening? Because otherwise, by the time you get to the end of your reporting, sometimes things have gone wrong, and you haven't then got the outputs and outcomes that you wanted to get in the course of the year. But ideally, this thing is meant to talk to what was planned and now what is achieved at the end of the year. As I mentioned earlier, these have to be tabled to Parliament. Parliament has to consider these, along with the financial statements. And then you go on to the next year of the cycle.
This is a bit more, this is much the same thing, but it's a bit more it just kind of lays out in a little bit more complicated way, talking of how the election mandate leads to five year
election mandate linked to the 3 year budgeting cycle of the medium term expenditure framework. Underneath that, the annual budget, an annual more detailed planning, and then within the course of the year, the detailed monthly reporting, the quarterly reporting. Particularly quarterly performance reporting. I'm not sure if ARCE is doing quarterly performance reporting, but it's something they should be doing. And then the annual reporting at the end of each year. And then every few years, a more detailed sectoral evaluation. So this is a much more detailed separation of the
cycle. This looks at strategic plans and annual performance plans. Some of the
main things that typically are in them for the department: the vision, mission, values, legislative mandate, and then normally a good plan starts with a situational analysis. You know, where are we? What are the problems that we face? What are the problems we're trying to solve? What are the things we're trying to do better? What is the service delivery environment? And then the plan sets strategic goals and the work that the changes have been doing with the department, trying to get them to make their goals more tighter, more measurable. So the CD problem is the program specific purposes, objectives, measurable objectives, resource aspects, risk management, links to capital and other information. And this particular slide also lays it out for annual performance plan, what is the CS strategic plan.
This is just another depiction of this kind of articulation between the constitutional and legislative mandate, the medium-term strategic framework of Cabinet, MTSF, which the department needs to think about in its vision, mission, values, its strategic goals, its 3 or 5 year targets, budget programs, strategic objectives, and then from the department to the program, the program performance indicators with annual and MTSF targets, and the issue of reconciliation of budgets and performance targets. Because often the budget and the plan sometimes don't talk to each other very well. It's a useful thing always to oversight over. Does this budget talk to this plan? Are they one? Do they talk? You know, do they speak the same language? And then are there detailed operational plans and individual performance agreements with senior managers? Are they aligned? Are what the chief directors and the DDGs and the DG, what they sign in their performance, are they in line with these things? And are they assessed with these things? Or do they get assessed on something else? Okay, I won't go into details of these things, vision, mission, values. This is more details on developing strategic goals, budget programs. I don't want to go into this detail now. Just a kind of time frame in the annual cycle of planning, budgeting. I won't go through the detail. And then, as I mentioned, the Treasury does try and help departments by laying out kind of what is a template for a strategic plan. What might the department want to put in the strategic plan? And these are some of the, we have like 30, 40, 50 page documents of these things. This is just the cover page of, you know, what are the kind of things that a department might put in a strategic plan. We've talked about some of these things already from the regulation, and similarly in annual performance plans, much of which is similar for a shorter time period. This is more kind of linking of concepts, which I think I won't talk through now. I think, maybe I should perhaps end there, but maybe if I could just end with one.
Because one of the practical things I've asked to convey to the committee, particularly by the budget manager that deals with the department, he continues to be concerned about the lack of capacity in the financial section of the department, in the office of the CFO specifically. CFO position in art has been vacant since March 2008. The chief finance officer. Post vacant since March 2008. The chief finance officer in the art department has been, the post has been vacant since March 2008. And the result is poor budgeting and financial management. And so there have been a number of pension, and there's official fraud and so on. So there's some problems in the financial structure of the department. You can't have a CFO post vacant for so long. So that's something that needs to be addressed.
Do you have an idea for how long is the
pension? I would need to ask Denario, I think this would be an objection better put to this part.
No, I just wanted to do this because that's also some of the suspensions are so long and so volatile.
Yeah. I don't know, I can't give you more detail.
Yeah, I will check this.
But I'll talk to Ray.
I just wanted to see you. Okay.
Then the second of five problems that I'll talk to Ray is the spending on investing in culture programs. Now, this is the anti-poverty program in the department. The budget of the investing in culture programs is 106 million rand this year. Okay, to promote a range of community arts projects, particularly in areas of poverty. by the end of January, 31st of January, of 106 million, 9.6 million is spent. So very low spending in this program. And also, again, some of the problems appear to be the financial management capacity. A lot of spend from these specific organizations who want the money, but they don't seem to be the capacity to assess these plans properly and get the money, get them rapidly, get the money out. And they also are extended officials there. Similar problems with capital work. A lot of these sponsors, the bodies, big theater companies or big arts, public entities. Here, by the 31st of January, for 10 months of the financial year, only 28% of that capital money spent. And of course, capital money, you need to get that program going as quickly as possible. So 28% on the capital money is very low by the end of January. And again, it seems to be a delay in the evaluation process. So these are issues that I would, that particularly recommend that you take up a little while. And then, I'm not sure if you remember, the 2010 World Cup project. The department wanted to have a number of art projects linked to the World Cup. For example, possibly to link some of the Grand Slam festival activities that take place in that time period to the World Cup, and a range of others. 75 million allocated for art projects linked to the World Cup. But of the 75 million, by 31st of January, only 24% spent. And we're getting close to the World Cup now. So, are we going to do these art activities for which money can be allocated, which hasn't been spent. But, and then lastly, the more general point from the budget examiner, weaknesses in budgeting and planning for our department. Quite a area of loss to convey to the committee. I think those are the points I want to convey.
Thank you.
system. I'm guessing that you have come. While those who came before you have done an excellent job, this dimension have come out so clear and so incisive, if you have not arrived. All I'm saying is that your coming here is very useful. If in the future it will be like you, knowing this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
I have
one other point I would like.
Thank you. Thank you.